From WAMC in Albany, this is the Legislative Gazette, a weekly magazine about New York State government and politics. Your host is David Gastina, with political commentary by Dr. Alan Shartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org. And NISCASA, the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault, working to support men in their decisions to end sexual violence with the My Strength is Not for Hurting campaign, online at nyscasa.org.
Coming up this week, Republicans and Democrats in the state Senate fight over campaign finance reform. Our political observer Alan Shartok shares his thoughts on a new education commission, and hundreds of college students call on the governor to ban hydraulic fracturing. Those stories and more on the Legislative Gazette. Democrats and Republicans in the state Senate engaged in partisan squabbling this week over reform of the state's campaign finance system. We get more from the Legislative Gazette's Karen DeWitt.
Senate Democrats, who were in the minority party in that House, held a news conference with government reform advocates to push for public financing of campaigns, a bill Senate Democratic leader John Sampson says will lessen the influence of big money special interests in politics.
The government is being hijacked right now by the super PACs, by the special interests. And you have what we call the privilege versus the people. You have the have versus the have-nots. And you have the voice versus the voiceless. And the only way you can really balance that out is through campaign finance reform. And we believe that we have to restore faith, trust back to government. And the best way to do that is through campaign finance reform.
While the Democrats were still speaking, Senate Republicans, who are the majority party, responded via email. We're not surprised that the Senate Democrats, who nearly bankrupted this state, would want to force New Yorkers to spend $200 million in taxpayer money to fund political campaigns, a spokesman said, rather than investing those dollars in schools or providing incentives to help businesses create jobs. Senator Eric Adams, sponsor of the public campaign finance bill, responded.
I commend them in their ability to write good sound bites, but I wrote a good bill. And what we need to do is critique the bill on its substance. We know it's going to cost, but it costs the state an even greater amount with the lack of campaign finance reform.
Many of the Senate Democrats are also unhappy with the Democratic governor, Andrew Cuomo. Cuomo listed public campaign finance reform as a goal in his election campaign, and he mentioned it in his State of the State message. But recently, he's cast doubt on the bill's chances for passage this year, saying that in an election year, there's not a tremendous appetite for it.
Which is going to be difficult to get an agreement. I think if you listen to the different points of view on the issue, you'll get a sense right away of the gap between the Senate and the Assembly.
That incensed Senator Tom Duane, who says if the governor tries as hard to get campaign finance reform passed as he did to achieve same-sex marriage and a new lowered benefit pension tier for public workers, then the bills can become law.
The governor, when he puts his mind to something, he can win, and we need him to fight as hard on this issue as he did on marriage, as he did on Tier 6, as he did on casino gambling. No matter how any of us feel about any of those issues, he stepped up.
Senator Duane and other Senate Democrats are still smarting from Cuomo's authorization of new district lines for the Senate. They say they were drawn to favor majority party Republicans. Senator Duane says he does not want to see that happen again with campaign finance reform. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
Joining us now, Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Shartok. Now, Alan, this week we started with some gas drilling protests. These were young people from around New York State. They showed up at the Capitol. They had a mock wedding between gas companies and politicians, but all over this issue of hydrofracking. Meantime, the Environmental Conservation Commissioner, Joe Martin, says he sees no reason to hold more public hearings on the natural gas drilling process.
Indeed. You know, I have great respect for Joe Martin. He's been a great environmentalist in the past. But I think a deal was cut right in the beginning. I think it's clear that New York State is going to have limited hydrofracking. The pro-hydrofrackers have put ads on all over the place, on the television and the radio, and have made it clear where they're going and what they want. And, you know, I've just felt that if Andrew Cuomo thinks he's going to run for president in 2016, if Hillary doesn't get in the way, he's going to be able to say, if he's generated some gas in New York State, that he has dealt with the fuel problem. So in terms of the long run, it's good for him, even though there are some of us and some people who feel so committed that you can't put something that might be poisoned in front of a child in their water. But, you know, politics being what they are, I think it's going to happen. In other words, I think we're going to see some fracking in New York State. They may put some rules on. They may try to cover it up. But in the end, I think that Joe Martens, when he says they don't need to know anymore, is because their mind is made up.
Is there a little extra pressure, Alan, because President Obama has put gas drilling on his energy agenda?
That's right, because the president doesn't want anybody on the other side running against him to say he hasn't done anything to make America independent of foreign oil. Now, the fact of the matter is, we are getting more independent. The studies are now showing that we're coming very close to independence from that. But if you're saying we're going to close down on nuclear plants, which many people demand because they're unsafe and you don't have to look any further than Japan to understand it, save your letters. I know there are different kinds of generators and all the rest of it. But, you know, you have older plants, you have them in the Hudson Valley, you have them in Vermont. These are scaring the hell out of people. Now, if you close those things down, you don't know what to do with the rods, you don't know all the rest of it. If you close those things down, you're going to have even more energy problems. And in the case of windmills, you put a windmill up on somebody's ridgeline and they don't like it because they say, you know, it's in their way and they're offended by it and it'll kill a bird or birds. So that's a big problem, and that's why I think Obama is doing what he's done. As for me, I don't like it, but I tend to ignore it.
This week, Alan, the governor announced a New York Education Reform Commission.
Yep.
Former Citigroup and Time Warner executive Richard Parsons is chairing the group. It has people like Ed Commissioner John King, SUNY Chancellor Zimfer, and others on it. And he says he doesn't want just a plan. He wants an action plan.
Well, yes. I mean, by this time, every time a politician or a leader appoints another commission, you got to the point where you roll your eyes and say, it's a lot of garbage. It'll take forever. And by the time they report, it'll be buried and put on the shelf. So Cuomo is brilliant about it. He says, I don't want just another plan. I want an action plan. I want to know exactly what to do. Now, when you look at a commission, you should look at who's on it and who's not on it, because it'll generally tell you where this thing is going. It's fascinating to me that there are a lot of statewide people who are on it, are very prestigious and very good people, but I don't see that many people from the New York City, half the state establishment. And when one looks at Mayor Bloomberg and what his interests are and what he wants done, we do have this huge fight going on now about the release of teacher grades. And I'll tell you where the compromise is going to come. The teachers union hate it. So the compromise is going to be, and I don't like it, by the way, that only the parents will know. So the parents will know how the teachers in question, how long do you think it's going to take for the parents to run to the Daily News and say, my kid's teacher got a D, and this is a disgrace, and that becomes a story in the Daily News or the New York Post. It's absurd, and that's what they're going to do. They're going to say, okay, we'll satisfy the teachers union. Everybody doesn't get it. Just the parents get it, but you'll see what's going to happen.
Finally, Alan, I want to read you a headline in the first line of this story by Thomas Kaplan that appeared in the New York Times.
Terrific report.
The headline, Cuomo says he makes history, then repeats it. Here's the opening line. Governor Andrew M. Cuomo is making history. How can New Yorkers know for sure? Mr. Cuomo says so and has almost every week since he took office 16 months ago. In fairness, he does cite some history-making things like gay marriage, but says the governor is fond of the word, we're making history.
Yeah, history is one of his words. There's no question. I have a feeling his speechwriters are told that history is something you should do. Kaplan wrote this article. I can't even imagine what the conversation must have been like when Josh Vlasto, the press secretary, the communications director, calls up this reporter and says, this is really trivial stuff. But it is interesting when you sort of see this philosophical idea, again, setting yourself up to run for president, pardon me, in 2016 by saying history-making. You know, David, the history word is not the only buzzword that he uses. He uses transformational a lot. He says, things are transformational. New York State will never be the same. But it turns out, of course, that that's not exactly true. So you appoint an ethics commission. Okay, you know, turn the page. It's the same old nonsense. It's the fox and the chicken coop. You put the fox in the chicken coop. That's what's happened. That's not transformational. Gay marriage may have been transformational. But, you know, that's another word which is overused. And also, you take a look at Cuomo promising that redistricting would be different. That's not transformational, that's for sure. It's the same old guys drawing the same old lines so that the Republican state Senate can stay in power, thanks pretty much to the way Cuomo played this game.
Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Sharkey. You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. Hundreds of college students from across New York marched to the Capitol Monday, calling on the governor to ban hydraulic fracturing. The Legislative Gazette's Dave Lucas was there and filed this report.
The rally began at 10 a.m. along the banks of the Hudson River at Albany's Corning Preserve. About 100 college students from more than 25 campuses across New York assembled for a march that took them through downtown Albany up to the state capitol. Laura Smith attends Vassar. She's part of the Green Umbrella team.
We're here in Albany to let Governor Cuomo know loud and clear that if he wants to be a leader for the youth vote and for environmental communities, then he needs to take a stand and ban fracking in New York and lead us toward a just and sustainable, greener and cleaner economy and future.
The Green Umbrella held a weekend conference on environmental justice entitled Power Shift New York to prepare students for the rally. Caroline Cowley came up from Brooklyn to participate in the action.
What we need to do here is ban fracking. I'm originally from Scranton, Pennsylvania. I saw corporations coming in and taking what was not theirs. I live in New York now. New York is my home. I'm never going to leave. And I can't bear to have that happen to my neighbors upstate. Just because I'm in the city doesn't mean that this isn't a community. We're a state and we need to start working with one another, even if you might not live down the street. We're all New Yorkers and we need to remember that.
Casey Alvey recently graduated from Cornell. She wants the environment protected for future generations.
Our generation by 2016, the millennials, will be the largest voting bloc in the history of the United States.
And coincidentally, that's probably when, if Governor Andrew Cuomo will run for the presidency.
Exactly. So we're also delivering a letter to Governor Cuomo, a letter from young people from New York State, calling on him to take leadership to ban fracking and build the green economy. And we're also delivering this letter, which has been signed by 18 state networks and national youth organizations, including the Sierra Student Coalition, Energy Action Coalition, Ohio Student Environmental Coalition, which represent hundreds of thousands of people from all across the country who stand in solidarity with us today.
Rallygoers staged a short skit at the top of the Capitol's million-dollar staircase. Theatrics included a mock wedding between gas companies and politicians before marching off to the governor's office to hand deliver a letter imploring Andrew Cuomo to ban fracking. But some insiders suggest fracking will be allowed and permits will slowly be issued to operations in the southern tier, where the New York Farm Bureau's Nat Helligan says natural gas drilling will help the economically depressed area.
A lot of our dairy farms and other farms in the southern tier are struggling. They're year to year trying to get by. In one case, one of our members out in Broome County, because of some regulatory changes, has to make significant upgrades, $600,000 worth on her farm. And these gas drilling revenues are going to be a godsend for her. And I think people don't usually think of it in those terms, but this is really one of the things that can save farms in our southern tier. And we think there's nothing more environmentally responsible or sustainable than keeping farms in agricultural production rather than see them go another route with that property. So, and these are multi-generational operations that really are dedicated to sustainable and environmentally friendly farming. So, you know, we think that gas drilling is enormously positive for those members, and that's the reason we support it.
Both sides of the gas drilling issue joined Governor Cuomo in awaiting word from the DEC as to whether fracking will be allowed in the Empire State. In Albany, I'm Dave Lucas.
Glens Falls has received a high ranking from Forbes magazine for its overall employment levels. The Legislative Gazette's Pat Bradley has more.
The city was ranked 8th best small city in the nation for jobs in the just-released annual ranking from Forbes. The company's website says it utilized data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics from November 2000 through January 2012, and the rankings are based on recent growth trends, midterm and long-term growth, and the region's momentum. Assemblywoman Teresa Sayward, who has a district office in Glens Falls, says it showcases the city's tenacity and hard work.
There's an economic development agency, and there are funds who come through them that are able to help our small businesses. Many of the programs that the state of New York has, Glens Falls has always been in the forefront, the Glens Falls-Queensbury area, for taking advantage of those. So the state has helped. But you know what? It's that tenacity of the people in the area and the excitement because of the growth and the rehabilitation of the downtown area, I think, that make people want to be there. The community is just hopping. It's the next up-and-coming community that is very similar to Saratoga Springs. I think in Saratoga Springs, many of the buildings are used up and the prices have gone so high that people are coming into Glens Falls.
Adirondack Regional Chamber of Commerce President and CEO Peter Ost credits a diversity of industry and businesses for the strong Forbes ranking.
Our Glens Falls MSA, which includes Warren and Washington counties, are two counties that have really both focused on the quality of life aspect of job creation and the fact that we have a relatively affordable cost of living. We also have some very innovative companies that have located here. We have a lot of growth in the medical device industry manufacturing, and our healthcare sector has really shown some significant growth. The diversity we have is quite unique in the fact that we have a strong tourism base, but we also have a strong industry base. It's really exciting to know that we've risen to the top 10, if you will, in the Forbes list of communities that are creating new jobs and beating the national trend of higher than usual unemployment.
Peter Ross notes that the economic downturn of 2007-08 did cause a rise in unemployment that Glens Falls has been tackling.
We've been whittling away down at that, and some of the reason is that we've got sectors of our economy that are doing strong. Others aren't, though. Some of our traditional manufacturing companies have not seen increases in job creation. But one of the things that they have been able to do, I think, which has helped us, is to remain relatively stable. And so that our current situation of layoffs from companies and so on has been minimal. And then the new job creation has just made our numbers increase more exponentially than some other communities across the country.
Glens Falls surged up the Forbes list from 59th last year with a 5.4% employment growth, and it is the highest-ranked city in New York State.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Pat Bradley.
Syracuse hosts some of Central New York's largest nonprofit institutions, so many that nonprofits occupy a majority portion of the city's land. As the Innovation Trail's Ryan Delaney reports, nonprofits drive economic and cultural activity, but their tax-exempt statuses make it hard for the city to pay its bills.
Syracuse's economy is fueled by nonprofits. Several colleges and major hospitals that employ thousands are located here. Plus, there are several churches, civic buildings, and charities. Altogether, 56% of land is off-limits for the city to collect property taxes on. There are also several other large property holders, like the Destiny USA shopping mall, that have temporary tax breaks, given as an incentive to come here. Further adding to the list is the more than 3,000 properties in Syracuse that are vacant or delinquent on their taxes.
This is characteristic of the type of problems that the city has with, you know, collecting property taxes.
It's left those in City Hall, like Common Counselor Khalid Bey, struggling to find ways to pay for schools and services and pondering new ways to generate revenue. Fellow Councillor Pat Hogan wants to see the larger nonprofits enter into service agreements with the city.
And I think it's just in recognition of the fairness, the essential fairness of paying for the services you receive.
Services like public works, police, and fire protection, which Hogan argues the nonprofits and their employees use but don't pay for. It's a problem cities across the country are facing, and several are beginning to confront their nonprofit institutions about it. In a deal worked out by the mayor, Syracuse University this year will begin paying the city $500,000 each of the next 5 years. But that compares to the roughly $24 million a year the university would pay if all the land it owns was on the tax rolls, according to the city's assessment office. Councillor Hogan wants to see other nonprofits agree to similar deals.
I mean, I don't think any of these institutions want to exist in a city where the infrastructure of the city's falling apart. And that's what we're facing.
But whether more deals will be worked out remains to be seen. The mayor recently met with Upstate Hospital, but didn't get far. Upstate says that as a state entity, it legally can't enter such an agreement. As Upstate and counterpart St. Joseph's Hospital continue to expand their footprints, Bay says that while expansion may create jobs, it decreases city revenues.
While they empower one of our economic engines, they're killing our other one.
The continued physical growth of nonprofits means more property going off the tax rolls. And then there are the tax breaks given out to entice development. With such a high percentage of property already untaxable, Bay warns there is only so much the city can give away.
We are running out of carrots. I think we have very little wiggle room. And I think this is my reason for saying we need to come up with a plan to begin movement back in the other direction.
Bay is generally pro-tax incentive, but he says the process for applying and granting incentives should be more streamlined. Bill Ryan, who is both the mayor's chief of staff and chair of the city's industrial development agency, the arm that gives out the incentives, says the city can't just stop giving out tax breaks.
If we were simply to say we can't afford to give any more tax breaks, then things would come to a standstill. And I would say that we would be worse off than we are now.
The challenge, both Bay and Ryan say, will be inching that 56% tax-exempt number down while not stifling economic growth. Ryan points to the potential of a model recently proposed by Syracuse University. The school is looking to open a new bookstore and fitness center just off campus. The facility would be located on tax-exempt university-owned land, but built by a private developer. By adding retail space and entering into a payment in lieu of taxes with that developer, the city would collect some tax revenue, where previously there was none.
That was the Innovation Trail's Ryan Delaney. Support for the Innovation Trail comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. The Innovation Trail is a collaboration between five upstate public media outlets reporting on New York's innovation economy. You can hear more at innovationtrail.org. And that about does it for this week's show. We had help from the New York State Public Radio Network. Copies of the program are available by calling 1-800-323-9262. That number, 1-800-323-9262. Ask for program number 1218. Or just listen or podcast on the web at wamc.org. And join us again next week at the same time. For more news on New York State government and politics, for the Legislative Gazette, I'm David Gustino. We'll be right back.
Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org. And NISCASA, the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault, working to support men in their decisions to end sexual violence with the My Strength is Not for Hurting campaign, online at nyscasa.org.